What if you could play a video game with your mind? I mean, seriously, my favorite video game is Diablo 2. I love that game. I could play it now. There's a way to play it on a Mac, even though Macs are not really gaming machines. But I would gladly go out there and play Diablo 2 on my Mac. And it's really cool playing with my kids and going back and forth. Yeah, sure, I know it's a little bloody, but it's awesome. It really is, and I think it's a really good game. This week, Elon Musk. So, what if you could play a video game and use your mind? So recently, Elon Musk's company NeuralNet announced that they installed brain implants onto a mock-up monkey, and they taught him how to play Pong. Now, if you're not familiar with Pong was a game that had little boards on both sides. Think of it, well, sort of like ping pong paddles, but they were rectangles. And they slid back and forth on the screen, and your opponent controlled one side, and you controlled the other, and a blip went back and forth across the screen, and the goal was basically it was tennis or ping pong, and you were trying to return the volley back and forth. And so they taught him how to play pong using a joystick. And they gave him banana smoothies via straw while he was playing as a reward. And they used neural links. They had installed neural links in his brain. And so they could capture how his hands moved as he played the game. Then they took the joystick away from him. And using only his mind, he was able to play Pong. This is season 3, episode 5, and today we're going to talk about technology and the future and visit some of the other tech news that's out there this week. And again, it's your brain and the future is the name of this episode. This is the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Each week we cover topics in the news and how they affect you. Sit back, relax, and open your mind. Welcome to the One-Off Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Roy Richardson, and each week we talk about topics and how they affect you. So sit back, listen, and open your mind. I've dreamed of a world like science fiction predicts we would live in. I mean, flying cars, computers the size of phones. Oh, wait, we already have that. Yeah, we already have that. You know, it's amazing when you think about how powerful our phones are. Our phones these days are more powerful than the computers that launched the space shuttle. The space shuttle had a 486 computer. Go look it up, kids, if you don't know what a 486 computer is. Go look it up. Go look it up. It's great. And the cool part is, what if we could use our computer only our minds? You know, I'm thinking, I don't have to type anymore. I could just think the words to the screen and they would just appear there. Or on the flip side, I don't know about you, but my mind doesn't always think what I want it to think. And so my mouth attempts to filter my thoughts from coming out. And for the most part, I'm smart enough to not let what's in my head be what comes out loud. But admittedly, my filter isn't as good as some, and so I will say things that I'm not supposed to say in public. But the next leap is if someone puts these neural links into our brains, or maybe they don't have to actually embed them, maybe we wear a hat of some sort, then what if these implants allowed them to capture every thought that escapes from your mind? Think of it. In the meantime, it's fun to just watch a monkey play Pong. Chapter 2. So, I'm almost a social person. I'm almost. I once tried to buy the domain name antisocial.com. The person that owned it wouldn't sell it to me. But I was going to do a website called antisocial.com because I was very antisocial as far as social networks go. And I thought, well, this could be counter-programming to social networks. I wish I had tried harder to get that, but I didn't. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Clubhouse. I've been on Clubhouse a couple months, and I'm at A. Roy Richardson. At A. Roy Richardson. someday I hope to be the Roy Richardson. That's the joke there. My first name doesn't actually start with an A, but it was too long on Twitter to do the Roy Richardson, so I had to be a Roy Richardson. And there was a comic called A. Whitney Brown, and his first joke every time was, I'm A. Whitney Brown. Someday I hope to be the Whitney Brown. And so there you go. That's my joke, and that's my story there. But so the question may, if you're late to the party, what is Clubhouse? So Clubhouse is audio only and invite only and currently iPhone only social network. Folks who think they are authorities on something or who talk to hear themselves think, kind of like me, that would probably be me. I like to talk to hear myself talk. To me, and there are rooms. You start a room and become the moderators of the room, and then they decide who comes on stage. So there's a virtual thing. Basically, there's like the crowd where everybody that comes into the room is, who's listening in, and then the moderators ask you to come on stage. And only if you're on stage can you unmute to talk. You see, when you visit a room, you have to be invited to the virtual stage. And the proper Clubhouse etiquette is that after you're invited to the stage, that you stay unmuted, and then you only unmute to talk. You ride the mute while in the room, kind of the way I do in Zoom meetings. That way I can actually do some typing or do some work. But Clubhouse is really cool, and there's a lot of open dialogue going on out there. So far, I haven't seen a lot of troublemakers, but I don't go looking for them, so it could be why I haven't seen them yet. And there are a lot of folks that are offering free and helpful advice. There's also a lot of folks trying to sell stuff out there and try to push the concepts of their authorities. And in a lot of ways, it reminds me of a cross between a podcast and a call-in radio show. And so, sometimes the content out there is really good, and sometimes I'm like, well, this is really interesting, and so I just leave the room. The other thing I hate is that on my iPhone, that if I tap on the Clubhouse app, it will take me into the room right away instead of letting me, well, if I tap on the notifications, it will sometimes take me right into the room, which I may have just been trying to make it go away. But yeah, that's how that goes. If you want to find out what Clubhouse is all about yourself, the first two folks to reach out to me, either via Twitter or Instagram, send me a DM. I will send you an invite to Clubhouse. Now, here are the rules. You have to have an iPhone. As of yet, they have not released an Android app. And they don't seem to be in a hurry to do that either. Once you get out of Clubhouse, or if you're already on Clubhouse, look for me out there. I'm at A. Roy Richardson on those platforms. And then I mentioned it's invite only. So that crazy concept of invite only causes it to have seem very exclusive. And so it makes people want things that they don't necessarily need. It's because it seems it's the iPhone thing. The iPhone thing, the AirPods thing. Apple kind of does this gotcha that sucks you in. It's like, oh wow, I really want that. So anyway, the funny thing is that everybody now is ready to copy Clubhouse. So you have Twitter out there, tried to buy Clubhouse already. You've got Facebook making their own Clubhouse. You've got even LinkedIn working on their own Clubhouse. And so this is going to get strange before it gets stranger. And that will be very interesting. Next up, Chapter 3. Maybe. So do you reuse your passwords on multiple sites? Maybe you have your browser remember that password everywhere you go. That's kind of scary if you think about it. You're counting on that browser to keep up your passwords. On the flip side, I've been there. But if you have crappy passwords, that's horrible. The days of passwords are numbered. So, for example, if you have one of the newer Windows 10 computers and you have a good camera, then you can use Microsoft Hello. Works like Face ID on an iPhone does, and where you log your computer, move the mouse, the camera looks at you, says, yep, that looks like you, and it logs you in. And, of course, you've got Face ID on iPhones, and then we have Touch ID on iPhones, kind of started. Now everybody has fingerprint sensors and all. Even the lowest end of cell phones are starting to have fingerprint sensors on them, so you can log in that way. And The finger scanner on many phones, eventually, we're going to do away with passwords. Why? Because one, it's too easy to forget passwords. Oh, hey, thanks, Mark. Thanks for stopping by. So, passwords are going to go away. They have to. Have you ever had a time when you're typing a password and you can't remember it? It's a password you type every day. It's literally muscle memory. Your fingers touching the keyboard know your password, but you have mentally forgotten it. And so, let's say, for example, something has happened and you're not on your regular keyboard, and suddenly you're trying to remember what your password is. That's crazy. Or you have lame passwords that you put under your keyboard on a sticky note. That means that anybody that lifts up your keyboard can find your password. I have so many people I've seen that are in very sensitive jobs who do not try really hard to save their password securely. Hey, Mar, I just want to say thanks so much for the comment there. I think Clubhouse is pretty neat. Recently, LastPass, which was a very well-respected password keeper, has decided that their users having a free tier wasn't really working out for their business case. Now, what you may not know is LastPass will let you do certain things up to a point for free. And then, if you wanted more features, you had to pay for them. And I have a lot of friends who are using the paid version. I also have friends who are using the free version. But LastPass appears to have gotten greedy. And now, they're asking people for a lot more money and things that they've been giving away for free. Suddenly, oh, yeah, those things aren't going to be free anymore. And so, a lot of people are looking for alternatives. Now, I've done KeePass, which is an open source program that works great. And it's free on nearly every platform except iOS. So I was looking for a password keeper to use on iOS, and I've used KeePass, and then I will synchronize my KeePass database on one of my cloud drives so I can get to it on multiple devices. And you gotta have a really complex master password, and basically it's a 256-bit AES encrypted database, and that master password is the front door. So if you're using a skeleton key to secure Fort Knox, somebody's going to get in. So if you don't know what skeleton keys are, you may need to go look that up. I wish I had a cool graphic I could pop up right now. This is a skeleton key. Anyway, the point being is that you've got to use great passwords on websites because so much hackery is in there. And I've talked about it on previous episodes, two-factor authentication. While there are limitations to two-factor authentication, I highly recommend on any website that gives you an option to do two-factor that you do two-factor authentication. But I wanted to tell you that my favorite password keeper is now 1Password. I have no affiliation. I'm not getting any money. I have nothing to do with 1Password other than I pay them money and I use their product. And I've been using it for over a year now. And I'm very happy. I wondered how it was going to be when I went to iPhone. And being able to use Face ID to unlock my 1Pass in order to get my password for any website or app I'm in is pretty cool, I gotta say. And then my wife, because, you know, we have bank accounts and credit card accounts and things like that, that, you know, things that Netflix, stuff like that, that you share with your local family. You're not supposed to share it. Remember, I talked in the last episode or episode before about Netflix's cracking down on password sharing. But the point being is that, well, if I get hit by a bus or a train, then my wife won't have access to those accounts. And so they have a family plan. And so I've been doing the family plan so that my wife has access to get to those passwords in the event something should happen to me. And then you can do a vault where you can say, this is my shared vault that I'm sharing with the family members, and then I have another vault that's private. Like, for example, if you use your password keeper for work. Well, I don't need to be sharing work with family, so if I did use 1Password for work, I'd probably put it in its own private vault just to make sure nobody else had access. And you have to have a very complex master password, and also it has another key that makes it extra hard for people to get into it. You can't just have just that password. You have to have both pieces of the puzzle. So I feel really good about 1Password. Granted, like LastPass, LastPass was hacked a couple times. So kind of curious what's going to happen there. But anyway, so I was challenged by what password manager to use on iPhone. And so I went with 1Password on my iPhone. I was going to try to use KeePass, But then I found that there were zero free alternatives. And the alternatives are out there wanted subscriptions. I don't want to pay for something that's open source. The open source guys are awesome. I will buy a cup of coffee for the KeePass guy that does, you know, that type of thing. But I just can't see me paying a subscription for something that I just need it to work. So anyway, as I said, I don't make any money from my recommendations, but the family plan is awesome. And I got some notes here as well. All right. Now, that's it for this week. I did want to talk about one more thing. This is a very serious topic, and I'm going to put more about this on my website. But a fifth grade STEMS class at Tucker Middle School in Georgia are finalists in the Samsung Solve for Tomorrow Challenge. And I was just amazed, first of all, that they're fifth graders that are doing something this advanced. And they partnered up with schools to get help. And so that's cool because they're smart enough to say, I need help and go get help. And they created a silent alarm for airline bathrooms that allows girls who are victims of human trafficking to alert the crew of the plane that they are in danger. And it also releases an adhesive that allows them to be tracked when they get off the plane. So I'm amazed at the technology. But the most shocking thing in the article was that I read over 300 women a month in Georgia, just the state of Georgia, are victims of human trafficking. First of all, I mean, I applaud these students for creating something so useful, but I am so sad that we're in a world where that's a need. And so that's very concerning. I just want to say thanks for listening. I know it's kind of a short episode. And be sure to reach out to me on Twitter or Instagram or Clubhouse. The show notes can be found at my website, which is oneofftechpodcast.com. When you get there, it's going to redirect you to my other site, faithintech.com. I just haven't gotten around to going all in on this site, but I'm going to do it. I promise. One day, when I have time, I'm going to do it. My site needs some love, I know. All right. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for watching, and thank you so much for listening. Bye. You've been listening to the One-Off Technology Podcast with your host, Roy Richardson. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts on Apple, Google, Stitcher, and Spotify.